tomorrow morning about 5 o'clock. Just tell us about that.
Yes, we feel very concerned about this, the status of the press number 4. We feel it's the beginning of crippling of the press. And we saw no other group taking action, so we felt we could use our church buses in a very valid manner. And anyone is welcome to call. They will. It's 922-648-1. What are we doing? I'm broadcasting. We're broadcasting for 2 weeks ahead.
Oh, I see.
Cut me off. Shut me off.
Okay. Mike, could we re-react the tape?
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's okay.
Oh, no. You were going to play that today, though, weren't you? We're going to use this on today's news?
If he wants to do it again, we can do it again. It's okay. We'll use it tomorrow morning, too.
Yeah, see, this segment will go for today.
Oh, I see.
This will play tomorrow, this afternoon and tomorrow morning.
I was playing for 2 weeks. Yeah. What the hell am I doing?
Don't think of the time frame at all, okay? All right, through editing, right. You know, playing with your voice and taking a little different tomorrow. Okay.
Yes, we're concerned about the status of the Fresno 4. It seems a restriction on the press that we can't tolerate. If people have to give their sources, how is anyone going to come out with a... I don't even know what to say.
He's been up all night.
Two nights. You see my bloodshot eyes. Let's start again. I think I'd rather start again than I'll be in better shape.
Okay.
Get my mind forward. You want to ask me the question again?
Evidently, you're going to be taking a bus ride tomorrow about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're going out to Fresno. Why don't you tell us why?
Yes, we have a few hundred of People's Temple going, and we hope that others will respond also. They can call our free legal services office at 922-6418, area code 415. We're concerned about the status of the Fresno 4. We see this as the beginning of crippling of the press. If indeed press has to give their sources, particularly in reference to problems of corruption in government, large corporations, as we've seen recently, this gentleman who's Jack Anderson said had some information about the death of Jack Kennedy, and we find him in Biscayne Bay in Florida in a tank, a tub buried, cemented to the bottom, and it happened to float up. We are very much concerned that if we allow these types of infringements to begin, we will not have a free press. And as I believe I read the other day, 98% of the world doesn't have a free press at this time.
Yes, that's true. One of the newsmen and I are constantly going out round and round on that. We're hoping to do someday, maybe in about 6 months, a 60-minute show on freedom and, like, what's happened to it.
Good idea.
Yeah. We happen to have Harry Reams in, who was convicted of his participation in Deep Throat, but we see that as raising a very important social issue. Well, eventually deal with that someday. Maybe we'll have you back. Jim, the first question, I want to just ask you a couple of rapid-fire questions. That is, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Okay.
One tries to forget it this time.
How long have you been within the religious community?
Very young. I started almost a working minister, beginning of college, since I was 18.
I see. You've graduated with theology degree of some sort, I assume?
Disciples of Christ. I'm ordained with the Disciples of Christ, which is a comprehensive denomination of 2 million that includes the FBI director, Lyndon Baines Johnson family, several congressmen, both liberal and conservative. Each church is autonomous.
I see.
Within the framework.
That's one of the things that I've noticed about the People's Temple. How long have you been in San Francisco?
Oh, years. Pretend, as I said, to forget the years now. I guess we've been here 8 years.
About 8 years. Okay. Just want to get some of the preliminaries out of the way.
Sure.
First question I wanted to ask you is, tell me about your God.
My God. My God is love. I see love, God, love, interchangeable. I don't personally cope very well with the anthropomorphic concept of deity. I believe the highest worship to God, if there's indeed existence of God, a benevolent deity, would be a service to your fellow man.
I see. So in other words, you tend to see the face of Christ himself in the people that you serve and work with.
You verbalize it better than I.
Good. I have a theology minor from the University of Santa Clara, so I was going to be a Jesuit at one time. There has been a movement on, I tend to just date it in my own mind since Pope John the 23rd and Vatican II, and the move that's going on of world ecumenism, where the Catholic Church, which of course has been the most picked, is beginning to lower the barriers and beginning to communicate with other religions. You saw what happened in Philadelphia recently, where Episcopalians were invited and rabbis and things like this. It seems to me there's a movement on that religion no longer has to do with necessarily a church service at all, that it's moving out into the communities, getting involved with people on their level, not within the church's level. Is that where the People's Temple is basically moving or has moved?
We hope so. We, as you may be familiar, we have free legal services and free medical facilities. which includes diathermy and ultrasonic treatments, physical therapists under the auspices of Dr. Goodlett, who is, you know, the publisher here. He's our clinical doctor. We feel that a church must be human service related. We have daycare programs, we give free meals, we offer food from our commissary to people upon request as they come to us. We have even a wood shop connected with our church, printing shop, People's Forum. You may or may not have seen it through the community. There's several thousands. I think we distribute about 600,000. It's small, but we keep it with issues, social issues. We're much concerned about social issues. We have arts and crafts and field trips and geriatric homes and a home for exceptional children, retarded children. We give convalescent care to our members. We do see that it's very important to be practical, and I'm heartened, very heartened by what Pope John created. It seemed to be such a terrible misfortune. We only had him a few years, because he brought a spirit into the field of religion, the like of which I've never seen in my time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't think we've seen it since either, if I might add that.
I concur.
Jim, you're involved in free legal services. I know you've been helping Vietnam veterans, old people, and transportation. You're into just about every issue that I've ever dealt with in terms of public affairs programming here. No need to tell you that a good many of the problems that are involved with dealing with people in these things is politics, money. That's where it all comes from. I mean, on a local level, you have the mayor's office, the board. On the state, you have that bureaucracy and federal. It's always been said that the church should be very much separated from the functions of the state. That doesn't seem to be true anymore, or does it? What's your own feeling about how involved should the church become in the community, per se?
Well, if the church becomes very much involved in partisan politics, it will lose its tax status. And I suspect that's going to happen to a number. I've read some in our denomination. There's a Catholic church that's been very much involved in the farm workers' movement in the south, in the peninsula somewhere, has been in trouble with the tax department, because it's a very narrow description of what a church can do. I disagree thoroughly. One tax position in one department was church must confine itself to praying, singing, and preaching. I would think that Jesus Christ would be disgraced by that. I'm a devotee of Jesus Christ, and he was a humanist, an ethical humanist to me in every degree. His judgment of whether one was truly Christian, of the Judeo-Christian tradition, was whether one had fed the hungry, clothed the naked, taken in those that were homeless. And I think his brother James embodied pure religion undefiled before God was to minister to orphans and widows. I can't understand how the church could be any other than involved. But I don't think the church should be used as a political base to gain power for itself, if indeed it can bring about change, but not be involved in any particular political bloc. I am opposed to the church being involved with the state in that sense. I think indeed we've had a historic precedent of separation of the church and the state, and I think that's wise.
Jim, what about the impact on you personally? Now, all of the things I've been looking at, you've won awards in a lot of ways. Well, like as is Cecil Williams, you are the center of attention and you can't help it. You're where it's at in a lot of ways. Obviously, there are dangers involved in that to any person's, like, spiritually, where your head's at, getting egotistical and things like that. How do you handle all the attention and all the needs that are put upon you to solve? How do you deal with that personally?
You see so many needs that I don't know how anyone could get egotistical about it, because you realize that all you do is just a drop in the bucket compared to the vast needs of America today. I see democracy in the balances. Around where our church is located in the Fillmore, there's a great deal of deterioration. Even though we have a drug rehabilitation program and the church is open 24 hours a night, people can come off the street and find shelter. How can one become egotistical in times like these? We're not making enough progress about meeting the needs of people. Poverty is on the increase, malnutrition amongst our children, state of ecology, I think, an apathy about social issues in general. I have never been egotistic in regard to what I'm doing, at least.
In talking with a lot of people, my own parents, friends of mine, and things like that, it seems that they've been so overwhelmed, I guess possibly this is part of the media's responsibility, with the fact that there are so many social problems that seem to be getting worse all the time, that they've just kind of said, my God, it is just so massive to deal with, I give up, why even try? How do you resist that kind of attitude in people?
It's very difficult. Very difficult. We try to keep active. The old colloquialism, the idle mind's the devil's workshop. One thing that helps me is just keep very, very busy. And I keep a schedule of 20-some hours a day. I think that it's a dangerous phenomenon when we read, as was yesterday, that perhaps only 30% of the electorate's going to vote. And I can see good reason for this. I see a lot of glib things coming from politicians. We need dramatic things proposed, and not politicians trying to get the pulse of what people want, but to say from their heart what they really feel. And if they're wrong, not be so concerned about how it's going to affect them in the public eye. I can see reason for apathy. After all, we've gone through Watergate, and we still see a lot of vested interests. We see people at the top echelons not paying their fair amount of taxes, not carrying the burden they ought to. Corruption is still, we read about it every day coming out about this politician or that. Although I'm very encouraged, that's why I'm very deeply concerned that the media not be infringed upon. That's all we have in this country. We would have never known about Watergate if it hadn't been for someone being able to keep his source, Deep Throat. I'm sure Deep Throat would have not spoken what he had to say if he had been revealed. And as I said, I personally have had death threats upon me, and I'm doing a very limited work. What a person like that would have, who was willing to step forward and reveal hidden secrets of corruption in high places. We just must not sit back idly and allow the press to be restricted, even though there are responsible pressmen at times who misuse that, that misuse their sources and say things that are not true about this group or that group or another. I still feel that the confidentiality of sources is a vital issue today.
Well, can't argue with you there. Jim, time and time again, and it just amazes me, I see stories of, let me try to think of recent things. There was an animal shelter that was out of money. People's Temple comes forward, I think it was $5,000, if memory serves me correctly. There was a program to offer transportation to senior citizens. As I remember, I think Vietnam vets were involved, only jobs they could get. The program was running out of money. People's Temple comes up with it. Where and the hell do you get the thousands of dollars that you're constantly coming up with all the time to help program?
We have a large membership. The membership's getting close to 9,000 active members. We don't have a regimen of tithing that's required. Some do, because they see a lot of results from what they're giving. And amazing, some little seniors are the most beautiful part of our ministry. They'll get out and have a bake sale or a rummage sale, a lot of things like that. We receive no resources outside of our church. Now, there is going to be, I guess, a testimonial, much to my chagrin, on the 25th. I asked them after I became aware of it to change it to a benefit, and I suppose those that buy tickets to that affair, which the lieutenant governor and the mayor and various other congressmen will be coming, that will be the first time, I believe, in our history that we've ever received any outside resources. We are self-supporting. We have no governmental... we're not dependent upon any agency. That gives us a great deal of independence to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You just, more or less, when you need the money, you just get the word out, and people just go to work, and that's how
yes,
it happens.
Yes, a place of appeal, like with Dennis Banks, for instance, when his wife was suffering with a little baby Kamook in jail, we presented him to the congregation. And our people are generous. They're good beyond any people I've ever served as a pastor. We raised, I think, $20,000 to get her free.
Oh,
I think she's going now before her trial. I don't know what the status of the trial is.
I think you're correct. Yeah, yeah, I do remember that. He did get off on, I think, what was the biggest charge that was facing him just a couple weeks ago, though.
He was one of the most unusual cases, too.
You're telling me there was a deathbed confession that absolved him, evidently. The person that was murdered said it wasn't him.
Yes. And another thing, many people we help never come back. You know, they get their assistance and you never even get a thank you. This man came back with a whole group of his tribe and insisted on coming back and thanking us before the press, which we didn't require at all. He called a press conference in our church after the fact that we'd assisted him, when he was still under a lot of pressure. I saw a good man there, I thought. A very good man.
Yeah, yeah. He surely has a good deal of influence now. I've had a chance to meet him. He is a fascinating man. Just getting my head together here. We could stay for hours. I want to go for the most important things. I'm writing my report here, okay, so I try to think of things I want to move to. Jim, I did want to bring up Vietnam vets with you, because that seems to me to be an issue that's died, that is still here. It's just that it's not being discussed, so therefore it doesn't exist because of just how media and society are nowadays. I'm under the impression, I happened to talk with somebody in San Francisco State a couple weeks ago, that there are a good many Vietnam vets still without employment, into drugs, and a whole lot of other things. What have you been seeing at People's Temple?
I don't like to see the number of young people that are still on drugs. Some say it's improved. I can't see it in our quarter particularly, but it has improved. It's a terrible shame that we would have called our young people to be involved in a war that we have since questioned the morality of that war and not provide opportunity for them. That's what I saw in the senior citizens escort service here, black, white, Mexican, Chinese, all these young men going beyond the call of duty, helping, I think it was primarily older white senior citizens, and they gave, it was like they became children to them. They gave after hour and overtime. It's shame. I think that we're going to have to face some basic changes in our society, a more egalitarian type of society.
And that leads to my next question. Can we provide for all of our people with, well, they call it capitalism, at least by my college training. I'm finding it very hard to fit the definition of capitalism and how this country is run, because I'm not seeing capitalism. I don't see free enterprise.
I really don't either.
Can we continue with this kind of economy and deal with the domestic problems that we're facing, including ecology and jobs and stuff like that? I don't think we can, with the profit motive being so important now.
I'm afraid not, and particularly, as you say, free enterprise doesn't exist. My wife is with the State Department of Health, an official pretty high in inspection of hospitals, convalescent centers. When she said that in the day when the small business person existed, there was a lot of quality care. Now she's into situations that are indescribable. The people are a piece of cordwood. She finds patients with decubiti, uncared for. It's just like a machine process. And we see this in every phase of our life. If the small business person has been indeed put out of business, and the multinationals grow and involve the overthrow of governments across the sea, and who knows their power? Can we even begin to comprehend their power, influence, are their wealth? I indeed agree with you. We're going to have at least some sort of welfare capitalism better than what we have now. The system is not adequate, and we're going to have to see some basic changes. We're going to have to certainly see that people at the top echelons pay a fair share of their taxes. Every day we read it, even the present candidates, they're paying less taxes than I do, and I make my wages are minimal compared to theirs. I read one of them, I don't want to win the name, but he paid less taxes than I did last year.
Yeah. I was going to bring up the fact that the politicians seem to be preying on that idea, too. I mean, what's the big pitch now in terms of taxes? We're going to reduce them for the middle class and all this. It seems to me like the middle class is being inundated, politically at least, with the idea that, well, the system can work, and we realize you need a break, and we're all, of course, going to campaign that you get it. But it seems to me, in looking at it over the long view, especially the Nixon administration, that Nixon worked very hard in convincing the middle class that it was the poor people they needed to be afraid of, not the Pentagon, not Washington, and not the corporations. Being a middle class member, whether or not I like it, I've never agreed with that, because I don't see the poor people, having been born and raised in the flatlands of Oakland, as my enemies. They're my brothers and sisters. That's who I grew up with. How do we go about helping the middle class taxpayer, who does carry the financial burden of this country? How do we demonstrate to him that his money is in fact better spent in drug rehabilitation programs as against prisons, is better spent at providing jobs as against welfare and unemployment checks? I mean, how do we begin to make them see that that is a better investment of their money as to what it is now?
Well, if we take a look at some of the society of Scandinavian countries and see the modest amount of crime, it's hardly safe to walk the streets in most any neighborhood, because the environmental circumstances force people to violence. I don't believe in prison system or death penalties. I don't think that's the answer. I think we need to create a better social situation. We have had people come to us in our church community that were the most troubled individuals, people that they said their pathology was psychopathic. One young man, I think, that we just sent to our agriculture mission, he's been there now 6 months. He took delight in cutting dogs' heads off and chickens' heads off, and they said there was no cure for him. But given a new setting and opportunity, they haven't had a problem. The people there in that agriculture mission, professional people, said it's amazing. It's almost like a person has been reborn. I happen to believe that social conditions do shape individual. I remember one time when I was the foreman of the grand jury of Mendocino County, they brought before me this, I've forgotten, Maine, I think, that raped a young woman and left her, it's a terrible case, and killed the son of the district attorney and left her paralyzed. But in receiving witnesses, when I had to hand down a writ of indictment as the foreman of the grand jury, one witness came up before me and he said, this man chased me for about 40 miles and bumped my car and kept trying to push me off the road. And he said, finally, he turned around, went back. I saw these young people walking on the road. Their car had been stranded. And I said, what did you do, sir? He said, well, I went home and I had a milk toddy, I think he said, and prayed. I said, why didn't you stop at the next door? He said, how close was it? He said, oh, about a quarter of a mile. It didn't occur to him he had a moral responsibility. And then when I got into Maine's background, strapped in a chair, his dad, an alcoholic due to handicaps in his physical life from the war, on welfare, degraded environment, and strapped in a chair, and his dad took it up, the typical syndrome of battering the child and battering his wife. What's going to happen to any animal when you beat it and deprive it? Like the poor dog left a while ago, we read in the news yesterday, left for days without food and the little baby laying there still. That wasn't a vicious animal, it was a starving animal. And I don't know what is the matter with our society that wants to think that we can remedy situations by just killing people off, because as long as these ghettos exist and underprivileged situations are there, we're still going to have problems. Certainly I'm afraid of governmental bureaucracy. Jefferson had a point, but perhaps when he said the government governs least, governs best. I know there are dangers going down the road to government involvement, but when I see the lives that are wasted, and the youth that are just spaced out, I think we better take some chances on a government that will reach the people on all levels.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Could you define for me what you believe moral responsibility is in 1976?
In what regard? I never like to speak just off the cuff, and that doesn't bring forth anything from me. I'm sorry, that's one question you hit me with. I don't know what.
Okay.
I don't know what you're saying, probably.
What is my obligation as a member of this society, or any individual's obligation to the people around him? The reason I ask this question, I'm going to tell you a very quick story. There's a little a teenager, okay, in London. This happened a couple weeks ago, who was born with a tick. He had a nervous tick, and he shook.
And they drowned him.
And he was deliberately disliked. But there was a very long story on this.
Italian.
In front of 1,000 people,
no
he was drowned and
yes.
beaten. Okay, we do hear of cases like this, the very famous case of that woman in New York that was robbed and beaten in an alley. All these people watched.
And somebody getting ready to jump out of a building, they all stand down and say, jump, jump, jump.
Why? I put the question to you. What is our moral responsibility to our fellow men and women?
That is a big question.
Where does it begin and end?
It ends in a society. Which I'm a little hesitant to. Are we on the air?
Yeah. I won't use it if you don't want to.
I don't. I think you're going to have to get into a society that teaches some form of cooperativism. You call it socialism or what? I'd rather not use that word because I've had so many death threats on my family. Even I don't see how we're going to possibly get cooperation when we teach competition, competition, competition. If you want people to assist and be responsible, we're going in the school everywhere. We're going to have to emphasize a cooperative society rather than so much competition.
Yeah. Is there any program?
Ask the question again, I'll get that phase out.
I'd like to try to move on to something that, do you have any projects that are ongoing right now that you'd like to talk about?
I never like to talk very much about what we're doing.
Ah, but you got to. See, that's part of your obligation to the community. See, now that I got you here, you got to do that.
Well, what do you know that we have to talk about?
Oh, I think that the medical, the program for seniors, the medical care, you know, whatever the need is, legal help.
You might might be able to get some of these middle-class people less scared if we would emphasize that the church could do one hell of a lot if it would have a lot of voluntary efforts. With all this money wasted, our temple is, if you see it, is the most used building in the world. We have ping pong set up in the sanctuary, we move the chairs, we have folding chairs used for recreation. Always there's free shows available every night to get the kids off the street, and crafts and games and all sorts of things. Woodwork going on,
printing shop so people can learn training, printing. We have a radio broadcast, and we get youth involved in engineering and broadcasting. Perhaps if they heard that, they're always griping about more government encroachment, maybe some emphasis on that, but how much a building can be used. And these abominable institutions, they build damnable things, you know, miles high, a cathedral, a steeple that has no use, or vast auditorium that's never used but 1 hour on Sunday. It's an abomination.
Yeah, the edifice complex, as Governor Brown has talked about it. It's funny how you're bringing up we don't use our physical resources very well. Little wonder that we're not using our human resources very well anymore.
I read where a church spent $100,000 for tapestry someplace on the, around the choir. That's a crime.
Really?
This is criminal.
Yeah, I remember when the new cathedral was built on Geary, one of the priests I had at Santa Clara wrote a very stinging letter to the bishop. I mean, he really risked a lot in complaining about this, saying
sure
all the millions you could have spent there, you just could have handed out to the community, and he would have
done
a lot
more good.
It
still goes on.
What about that? How hard is it you have no choice. You have to deal with government agencies and stuff like that. What kind of reception do community-based organizations like yours get from, like, the city of San Francisco, the state, the Fed?
We don't. Being that we're not supply. We're not. We're not funded. We have very little connection. We do have a credit bureau. It doesn't fall under my immediate jurisdiction. We have some accountants who are very, very fine. One woman who volunteers her time, Mrs. Leroy, she has more experience in contact with the government. But being that we seek no assistance from the government, we really don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how to relate to that.
Could I ask your appraisal of Chief Gaines' policies in terms of the San Francisco Police Department?
I think Chief Gaines is a very human person, sensitive. I think he's necessary in law enforcement. I never could understand all the ballyhoo about the flag, because I've seen so many people of late carry the flag in, for instance, Boston, attack some minority person who's a member of the government use it as a spear. Some of the people that wave the flag the most hide behind hate to the degree that I'm not able to comprehend. I've seen in Chief Gaines, though I'm not a personal friend, he has spoken in our church. I think that the man has a care for people, and goodness knows that we need that in law enforcement. There's quite an alienation, particularly amongst minorities and poor whites. In reference to law enforcement, they don't trust. And when we have a chief with a heart that has programs that are more concerned about rehabilitation than punishment, I think that's good.
I do too. You mentioned media when you first walked in here. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? I obviously, you're very concerned.
You never asked me about moral responsibility, too. If you want me to get back on that, I'll try it again.
Do you want to try it again?
I'll try it again, yes, if you want me to.
Okay, let's see. I'd like to try to get a working definition of what you believe to be the moral responsibility of people toward each other in this day and age.
Well, the Christian concept was that we, the Judeo-Christian concept, in fact, I think it runs through all the great world faiths, is that we are our brother and, not to be chauvinistic, sister's keeper. I think that there's been too much stress placed upon competition from the school up and in sports and everything. There ought to be more emphasis upon cooperation. I think that's why we see people pass by a man I read in Jet yesterday that was hung on a road sign. Fortunately, it didn't happen to break his neck. But 1,000 people passed that man without even stopping. Some even backed their cars up and looked at it and went on. Only one person called the police, but no one stopped to assist him. And you were mentioning earlier the incident in England, because America is not the only place that has a problem of prejudice and apathy and indifference. How 1,000 people can stand and watch a young Italian who happens to be the victim of prejudice there. And by the way, other ethnic groups should have concern. Prejudice does not just limit itself to Chicano or Indian or Mexican, because in England, Italians are very much the victims of prejudice. But none of those 1,000 people came forward until money was offered, I believe. This is appalling, and I think you're going to get that until from the media and from the church and from the schools, every area, cooperation is taught, and some value is placed upon that type of assistance of people.
Mm. Mike, how much more time do we have in the tape? About 2 minutes? I'd like to try very quickly in about 2 minutes. What about local Bay Area media? Are you satisfied that we're doing our job in terms of conducting open discussions, and I'm talking about with it primetime news of what's going on in communities, both the good and the bad. What's been your impression of our job?
I think the Bay is better than any place I've seen, but it's never quite adequate, I'm sure, compared to the vast need that we have to discuss the problems that are before us. I unfortunately, being a working minister of about 20 hours a day, I don't get to listen to the news enough. But I see a better job all the time being done.
You do, you do. What about the integration of the media itself? You mentioned as you first walked in here that you're seeing more minorities.
Yes, I was pleased to see a minority person interviewing me. I have not had the occasion to look through this particular radio station, but I think that's very important that we see minorities at every level. Because unfortunately in the past we see often some tokenism, but at the top there'll be the white male still prevalent. But I think again I see integration at all levels of the media better here. In the Midwest, when I was traveling through, we take a bus tour every year to take underprivileged people to see Washington and places of interest, the beautiful parts of America. You can go through many cities and never see a minority face as a communicaster at all.
Wow, that is interesting. We've run out of time, and I didn't want to have a chance to talk to you. So I think we're going to leave it right there. 10:54, we did all right. Mike, we'll stop it there. How's your voice feeling?
Oh, my voice is...
You okay?
Feels all right, but it sounds horrible. I just people listen to it. Sure.
You've got a hell of a good tape recorder here.
Yeah.
This is considered one of the best.
Just get that word out so she doesn't feel.
Oh, yeah. You wrote a letter to the paper or something?
Pardon me?
Pardon me, can't you hear me? You wrote a letter.
I didn't understand.
You wrote a letter to the paper, the editor?
To which paper, sir?
Oh, Examiner Chronicle. Or what? I'm trying to find the name here. Michael Prokus wrote, I guess.
I see. He's not in now, but your phone call sounded like you needed to call back, so I took the liberty to return the telephone call.
Well, that's where the score is to call back, isn't it? I didn't care who it was. I'm looking for altruists. I've written 18,000 letters regarding urban problems all over the world, and no one seems to care, and I distributed 100,000 flyers trying to promote the golden rule in constructor sharing, minimize money, and it seems everyone prefers guns and gold and reactive problems.
How did you find out about our letter? Was something you read
well,
in the paper?
If it was in the paper, I read it in the paper, right?
I see. Well, I've not done...
But great minds discuss ideas. What's better than moral health? Maximum sharing for mental and physical health.
What did that letter appear?
Is uh-huh better?
Pardon me?
Can't you say what? Is uh-huh better than moral health?
I'm trying to...
Tomorrow in Fresno, on behalf of the four Fresno Bee reporters now in jail for refusing to reveal news sources to the court.
We are very much concerned that if we allow these types of infringements to begin, we will not have a free press. And as I believe I read the other day, 98% of the world doesn't have a free press at this time.
Jim Jones, pastor of the People's Temple. 610 notes the Berkeley One Act Theater Company is presenting a Tennessee...
Okay, now where are we? Oh, yeah.
The application for...
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mike Brooks.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, fine.
Haven't heard from you for a while. Jim, just want to know what your attitude and feelings are at this point.
I just walked in the door from school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But, in any event, it's just this, I mean, I was going to come anyway, but, I mean, it's just this why you call, because, yeah, I mean, my attitude is okay. It's just that, you know, I don't, I've done a lot of thinking about it, and, you know, my health is really at stake, and, you know, pretty much I'm still under the doctor's, care now, and, I just really think it's just too much for me, and, I know that I can't, you know, continue to be a part of, PC and not, you know, be there and stuff, and I just know that, you know, I can't hack that. I mean, my nerves just cannot take it and then get up and go to work and go to school and carry on the normal functions that I have. I just can't do it. So, I don't know. You know, I mean, my feeling at this point is that, I mean, I know what the obligations are, and I would just rather not even be counseled, you know, because I just cannot handle that. I mean, emotionally, I just cannot handle it. And, I mean, you know, I thought about, well, can you handle it? Is it, you know, the kind of thing, can you handle it? And, or are you just saying that you can't? And, you know, when I reflect on the fact that, you know, I'm shaking the pieces sometimes when I walked out of that room, you know, just from being up so long and a period of work and the whole thing for a whole period of day, I wasn't a question of whether you want to or not. To me, it was just a question of whether my body could, you know, continue to hack that.
Yeah, well, why would that? Why would being a counselor hurt?
It wouldn't hurt. It's just that I know that there's certain demands that are made on counselors, you know, and I just don't think it's fair to, you know, ask not to have those demands put on me, you know, and still, you know, maintain the same position. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying that I'm willing to do that. I'm just saying that I would prefer not to ask for, you know. I prefer not to ask for somebody to be doing something for me that would cause problems for somebody else looking on, because I also know how that's affected me. You know, when people see somebody else doing something, then whether they understand or don't understand, they still, you know, have feelings about it if they feel that they're getting away with something that they're not getting away with. You know, that's the way they look at it. It's not to say that they're getting away with anything or not. It's just, I think that's how we reflect on things.
So, what role did you want, how do you see yourself? What position, sort of position would you be taking?
No, I have no problems in coming to church, you know. It's just that I have a problem staying up all night and trying to work and going to school and going to meetings twice a week. And, you know, I mean, I just cannot hack that. And then maybe if it was the nature of a meeting that I was going to that had some end results, you know, I mean, in my mind, they're none. You know, if it was a business, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that I just know that emotionally I cannot just stay up like that and function like a normal person. I just can't do it.
All right. I'll pass it along and possibly get back to you.
Yeah, because one of the things that had happened was that I was, you know, running to work, you know, like in the middle of the day on Saturday and running back on Sunday trying to make up for things that I didn't do, you know. And it just got out of hand. I mean, my work was, when I got ready to, you know, to go away and try to get some rest, I had to work 2 days overtime to catch up with my work. You know, and that's a trip. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I told my boss that I just really, you know, wasn't feeling well and that I, you know, wanted to take some, you know, short leave, you know, for a period of time. And she said it was okay. But, I mean, I could see myself have been under a lot of scrutiny and criticism had I been someplace else where I wasn't in control, you know, basically of a lot of my own work. But I had really gotten bad, Mike. I'm telling you the truth. A girl in the office said something to me, and I almost slapped her. I mean, I walked up to hit her. And, I mean, that's, you know, I think,
but
you know me a little bit.
Are you sure it's a result of the other meeting?
No, I think it was a result of my nerves just being, you know how you just get to the point where you just, well, I don't know if you ever got at that point, but
was it brought on by here, for sure? It could have been brought on by your job itself.
No, I think it was brought on with a combination of things. Just the fact that I was just tired all the time. My nerves were shot to hell. I had gotten to the point where I was just shaken. And it's, you know, my hair had started to fall out. I had bald spots in my head. You know, there was little, I still got some of those. It's not nearly like it was. But little bumps, you know, red bumps that was get, which comes from what they call psoriasis. And it's all nerves. I mean, that's what it was described to me as, nerves. So I don't know whether it was an all result of that. No, I can't really say that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I think that the combination of it all, you know.
I don't know what sort of position we can take. I don't presume to make that decision now, but I just know that, you know, like in the past, when people have wanted to, you know, lessen their responsibility, it just sets a precedent for others who would like to do the same.
I realize that. And that's why I suggested right from the beginning that, you know, I just come off council altogether, because I realize that that's what happened.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, you suggested that from the beginning, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I think that it does set a precedence for people in terms of, if I was allowed to do something else, you know, then I think it would cause more of a problem. I don't know. I just know that I've had a lot of time to do a lot of thinking, and, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, I mean, I'm not hostile or anything, you know, and I don't want to leave. It's just that I know what I can take, Mike, you know, and I know what I think I should have. I have a right to make up my mind what I want to do, you know.
Sure, you have a right to do that. The problem is what we're going to, you know, what would you have to say to others?
I don't know. I don't think that that's my position, you know. I mean, I really don't see that as being my position.
No, it's not your position, but, I mean, do you see the difficulty?
No, I see the difficulty. But, I mean, the whole difficulty right now in which, I mean, I think that that was my whole dilemma. I think that that's one of the things that really got me started on that downhill trend, is because it looked like there was no way out. I was just fenced in, and I had all this responsibility. Nobody wanted to hear about it. Nobody wanted to lessen it. I was just trapped. You know, and, you know, I can't live like that. I don't know about other people or what other people want to do. But, you know, I've had that. I mean, I have had it up to, you know, like almost having a nervous breakdown. And I just can't. I don't think that that's what it should be all about.
Okay, well, I'm just saying it's almost like an impossible situation where, you know, someone comes up to you and asks advice. But for me as a counselor, and you say, well, I'm not a counselor, when I know that you were at one time. I mean, people are going to know that you're no longer a counselor. And it's like an impossible situation to deal with as far as explaining to them why you're not. And that's why I'm wondering if you are dealing with, you know, if you understand that.
Well, no, I didn't deal with that.
That's what we have to deal with. I mean, that's what we'd be facing. And so...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have solutions. I mean, I didn't have any solutions some time ago, or I wouldn't have been in the state in which I was in.
Okay, well, I'll just... unless you have anything to add. Is it long?
No, not really. I don't know what to say, because... I don't feel like it's personal to me. I think that some people have greater abilities to handle things than other people, and I think that people release them in different ways. You know, I mean, I don't think that everybody reacts to the same thing the same way.
Yeah. Maybe.
But, you know, I just cannot, I just cannot sit up like that all night. Well, I just can't. I don't see any purpose in it, for one thing.
There is.
Well, maybe there is. There is not any purpose in it for me, okay? I mean, I just don't see any purpose in it. I mean, I think that anything that we had to do could be done in such time that a person could go to work and feel like they have all their faculties, you know, and produce and be a productive person. But hell, it's a wonder I've had a job for the last year. When I really look back on the kind of shit that, you know, I was responsible for and how I just drug along and produced just bare minimum.
Well, I mean, it's not as if, you know, you're in a unique situation. I mean, there's others that are in the same position. But like you say, maybe they react different. I don't know. Fortunately, I haven't had to hold an outside job.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that maybe people look at it differently, Mike, when, you know, I mean, when you step out and
just know that, you know, there's most, I suppose most people on there have jobs. Probably a few lucky ones. Of course, I don't like dealing with the public in the way I have to either, because I don't enjoy having to play all the games with the mayor and gone through. And everybody's like that.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that. I just feel that I know, you know, what I think is right for me to some extent. And I want that, you know. I mean, I want to be able to be a sane human being. And I don't think that that's asking a lot, you know. And, I think a lot of people probably feel quite the same, if not worse. But they just keep sitting there going along, and all of a sudden they walk off and leave, and nobody ever understands why. You know, and it's for the reason that, you know, you're looking at right now, Mike, is that I'm trying to say to you what my problem is, and you're saying to me how my problem is going to affect everybody else. So that gives me the heavy of, do you want your problem to affect everybody else, or do you want to have the problem all by yourself and continue?
Well, this is just personal, okay? I shouldn't be expressing to you, probably, so I won't continue. But I just think there's ways of dealing with things. I think we let ourselves go as far as we want. I think we feel that we each have limits that we set ourselves as far as how much pain we're willing to endure when we all could go much farther. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you're probably right. You're probably right.
And so it gets down to a matter of character for all of us.
Well, you know, maybe that's the problem. I don't have enough character.
I don't know. I'm just saying that's, you know, my personal...
No, I know that. And I'm just saying, you know, to you, I'm not taking it personal. I mean, I don't want you to feel that you can't express yourself to me and that, you know, that means that I'm going to run off someplace and hide. That's not true. Yeah. I can accept what you say. Maybe I just don't have enough character.
Well, anyway, I probably shouldn't have said it.
No, I agree with what you said. But I think that we have a right to set our own limits, you know, and I think I have that right.
Okay. I don't know that we
well,
do.
Well, okay, Mike, I have a right to set mine, okay?
Well, you do if you give yourself the right.
Well, that's what I'm doing,
is giving myself the right. I think, what? Why should we have any more rights than most oppressed people who don't eat, who don't, you know, who just are in constant suffering?
I don't know why I should have the right, Mike. I really don't. I just know that by my having a nervous breakdown and, you know, not being able to deal with what I see as a normal everyday responsibility of taking on your responsibility as, you know, on a job, by not being able to do that, I don't see that as making that any better either. In my opinion, I don't see it as making it any better.
Okay, well, I mean, if you agreed with what I said before, then, you know,
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I agree with what you said. Maybe it's just, I mean, I just don't have the character that it takes. And that's, I accept that.
Well, I don't know what to say, because I feel that, I don't want to say this in a way that makes it, you think that I'm just blowing smoke up here, but, I mean, you have a lot to offer, you have a lot of, unique potential that could be utilized as far as PR capacity, and, I hate to see you fall back because, I know that that can be utilized and that it's going to be needed more and more up until the time that we leave. And if you are less involved, then we can't draw on that. Because, you know, it'll be a matter of utilizing those who are in the planning.
I can appreciate that. And I can appreciate what you're saying. I know that the people that are in the planning will be the people that are used for that. And, you know, what can I say?
Well, I would just like to see you. You know, again, this is personal. I'm not passing on any message. I was just asked to call and simply ask where you're at. But, you know, I would like to see you just attempt to keep your level of commitment and try to cope with it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
I'm not going to do that, Mike. I'm not staying up anymore.
Because I think you...
I've made my mind up about that, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
All right.
I mean, you know, I can't even take my medication and stuff. You know, when I come to church, I have to be aware and alert, okay? So I can't take my medication while I'm there. I just have to go through, you know, trying to control whatever it is that I have to control during that period of time, which I've done very well at doing that. But also, a lot of it has to do with rest, you know, and not being just really, you know, bogged down with a lot of things that, you know, basically is what got you in the situation that you're in. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say to you. I mean, I hear what you're saying to me, but nobody, you know, I mean, when I really was begging people to take some of this shit off me so that I would have never gotten to that point, nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody would listen. And nobody ever does until you're pushed against the fucking wall and you can't breathe and all you can do is come out screaming. You know, I don't understand what it takes for people to stop and listen to people around there. Why nobody recognizes when people are pushed too far. I don't understand that.
Well, I just... You know, I thought I was pushed too far, too. I really did. I mean, there's times when I come out of meetings emotionally devastated. And I wanted to scream. And again... well, I just decided I was going to try, and, you know, I just felt like, well, what the hell? You know, why should I be any different? You know, what's my life worth? I'm nothing special, because I've certainly blown enough things. I fuck up every day, so...
Okay, I understand that, Mike, okay? All I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, I don't think that I'm special, okay? Maybe I act like I think I'm special, and I'm sure in a lot of people's opinion, that's what they think, you know? But I do think that I have a right to make some decisions about my life and about my health. If other people are not concerned about my health, I think I have a right to be concerned about it.
Okay, well,
and
if I said what I was going to say, just lead to more.
No, I mean, you're not, all I'm just saying to you is that you're not making me hostile.
I'm
just telling you how
I feel. I don't feel, you know, when we're involved in a revolution, we lose personal rights. You know, we don't have the right to decide what, you know, how far we can commit ourselves, how far we can go, how much, you know, pain, you know, limits of pain or something. Because there are others who go through much worse, who aren't even in here. The people that we're trying to rescue. So I don't think we have it right, Kay. I don't think we have it.
you know, maybe we don't, Mike. I mean, maybe we don't. I don't know. I just know that I've been away, and I did have some time, you know, because I knew that if I didn't go away, that I'd be, you know, in church on Wednesday, you know, the whole thing all over again, and still not being able to really settle down and get my head together, because my mind was really screwed, you know. And I'm just saying that I don't want to go that route anymore, Mike. Now, I don't know what got me there, but I know some of the things that got me there was the fact that I had too much responsibility.
You know, Kate, before I came here, I couldn't have been more of a honky. I couldn't have been more of one. And now, you know, if I can identify with this and understand why we have to do what we're doing and what it means to people who are really destitute, why can't you?
Mike, I realize why you're there, you know. And I also realize that I've worked 18 years of my life. I don't know how long you worked before you came there, you know. But I have, and I'm continuing to work. You know, and I think I've done what I thought was right, or I tried to. You know, but again, you know, I think that if you're there, and you're there for what you say that you're there for, and you can't hear people screaming around you, how in the hell are you going to hear them from afar? I mean, I don't understand that.
You mean people outside?
I mean people outside that you're supposed to be concerned about. If you can't look at people right around you and see them falling apart and stop and help them, or stop and want to suggest that something's done to help them, then, you know, to me, I lose sight on the target outside if you can't see what's going on right around you.
Well, I think that's where, if we kept our eyes focused on what's outside, I don't think we'd get the internal individual problems that we have inside. But I'm probably out of line, because I'm just blowing off, I think, Kenny, so I better let you go.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I think I just said what I had to say, Mike. I don't know how it's going to, you know, work out, and I hope it does work out, because I really don't want to stop coming, you know, but I know what I want to do.
Yeah. Okay, well, I may be back to you anyway.
Well, what are you suggesting, that I wait for you to get back to me, or?
Frankly, I don't know. I really don't.
Okay.
What do you suggest?
No, I'm asking you, because I was on my way out of the door, so I didn't know what you
were... Well, you're not going to be turned away, Kay, that's for sure.
No, I'm not even... God, I don't know how I'm coming off, but I mean, I didn't mean to even suggest that that was going to happen. I was just saying that I didn't know whether you want me to, you know, stay here until you, you know, contact me back and talk to me, or...
It wouldn't be that soon.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know, so that's why I asked.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll see you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.